The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Didn't provide, you know, in the sports world, last night, I should say, any drama. Patriots win over the Indianapolis Colts and did so pretty convincingly, 38-24. And then the Dodgers did what the Dodgers I thought were going to do, which is beat the Atlanta Braves. I didn't know they'd shut out the Atlanta Braves, but they did so in a rather nice cakewalk. They hit three home runs. Braves scattered six hits. Really didn't have any threats. But earlier in the day, Milwaukee and Colorado got in a nice battle, a 3-2 win by the Brewers in 10 innings. But I think last night lacked a little drama, but it doesn't matter. And here's why I bring this up. It doesn't really matter because we have now entered that part of the schedule, kind of officially entered that part of the schedule where now we are crossing over with some major sports in baseball, major events in baseball, major events in both college football and in the NFL, all coming together in November. This in the next 25 days are going to be really, really fun. Right, where you're going to be watching Monday night football in a playoff game, or Thursday night football in a playoff game, or there's going to be Sunday and there's going to be a playoff, whatever, however combination of it is, you're going to get a full rack of baseball games and NFL games that matter and college football games that matter. And I think this is what I look forward to most every year, despite the fact that last night was rather undramatic. I thought the Dodgers were going to beat the Braves, and I think the Dodgers are going to beat the Braves in four, if not three. I mean, I just don't think Atlanta stacks up. Atlanta, to me, and this is one of those teams that I've seen a couple of times this year, Atlanta, to me, with their young stars, reminds me of a team that just kind of got good and took advantage of their situation. Rather, you know, it was kind of a perfect storm of it all coming together, right? Their young talent did what it was supposed to do. Ozzie Albies, Ronald Acuna Jr., you know, old guards like Freddie Freeman. They got some good pitching, not great pitching, but good pitching. But it's almost like it's coming a little early. And they're going to be a good team down the stretch, but I don't think they're Dodger good. And last night showed they're not Dodger good quite yet. Mike Foltynewicz got roughed up rather early. Patriots and Colts, I want to get to that coming up. There's some milestone for Tom Brady. I still don't think we really fully grasp what this has been for the last 15 years. We'll talk more about it next. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you can be with us here on SB Nation AM. Our telephone number, if you want to join the program, 800-777-2907. Hit me up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Ron Culver has the day off. Jacob filling in as we cruise you through your morning. So last night, the Patriots beat the Indianapolis Colts 38-24. This game was 24-3 at halftime. And at that moment, I wished, boy, wouldn't it be cool if there was like an exciting baseball game on? But there really wasn't, because the Atlanta Braves were trailing the Dodgers at the time. And So we ended up with a game that was kind of out of hand at halftime and a game that was out of hand in Los Angeles in game one of the NLDS. The Colts, look, Andrew Luck played really well yesterday. I mean, really well. I mean, he threw some nice balls. The problem is, and this, I feel this way with the Colts over the last couple of years, you know, not the year that they beat Denver and lost to the Patriots in the playoffs, but don't waste Andrew Luck, Indianapolis. Start building a team. Get some talent around this guy. Don't waste him. He's a once-in-a-generation kind of player. He's a once-in-a-generation type of quarterback. You hear me say this all the time. You hear everybody kind of say this all the time. When you find a guy that can play this position well, there are only a handful of people on the planet that can do this. I mean, that's it. There are people in the league that can't do this. There are players in the NFL that can't play this position well, yet they do it because there needs to be 32 starting quarterbacks in the league, and maybe there's only 20 people who can really do it efficiently. The problem is that while quarterbacks can absolutely mask a lot of deficiencies that you have, you give up a lot of points on defense, a quarterback can put up more points, and you can win games in shootouts. The reality of it is if you surround him with wide receivers like last night that drop the football, guys who get injured, you run into a problem where they're 1-4, and we're wasting Andrew Luck, who's coming back this season and should have the Colts at least somewhat decent. He should be able to mask a lot of the ills that bother the Colts under a new head coach and all of that. But Andrew Luck's ability, he threw for 365 last night, but he still threw two picks and three touchdowns. I don't want to see this go to waste. I remember when Andrew Luck was coming out of Stanford. I was in Denver at the time, and I used to have these debates with people. One guy in particular who I just loved, he would call all the time. He would run the same debate at me all the time, which was, Denver should lose every game the rest of the way. We should be rooting for Denver to lose the rest of the way so we could get Andrew Luck in the draft. And I said, while I agree with you in principle that Andrew Luck would be great for the Broncos, on the Broncos, this was before Peyton Manning, of course, But you're just not going to get the fan base to support actively wanting your team to lose. It's just not in our nature to do that. Even though we know it's beneficial, we just don't like tanking. We want to invest in our team winning. The winning gives us pride, even if it is in a losing season. But his point was valid. This is a once-in-a-generational type of quarterback that we just don't see all the time, and I don't want to see his talent in this league in a sport that's very difficult to win a Super Bowl. Look at Dan Marino. He never won one. Dan Marino went to one early in his career, never saw the game again. It's possible Andrew Luck plays his entire career in Indianapolis, never sees a Super Bowl. That's possible. Maybe. I mean, he'll play when Brady's gone, but who knows? You can't make that assumption. You can't assume. There was a lot of people that assumed after Super Bowl 19 that Dan Marino was going to go to a lot more Super Bowls. There were a lot of people, but you can't assume. There were a lot of people that thought John Elway was not going to go to a Super Bowl in his mid-30s. He not only went to one, he went to two and won both of them. So you just don't know in this league. But if the Colts don't start building a really good team around them, guys who aren't dropping the football and making mistakes and whatnot, they are going to waste his talent. It's great to have him back in the league after missing him for a year. It's great to have him throwing the ball like it is. Because when you have an elite quarterback, you want that elite quarterback to shine. You want that elite quarterback to play well. That's one of the reasons the league is under so much controversy with this roughing the passer rule. Which, by the way, and I don't mean to go on a tangent here, by the way, one was not called on Luck last night, and the league said, oh, but you know what? There was no real lifting and driving when two Patriots, it was Trey Flowers and Patrick Chung, wrapped up Luck and dropped them down, and both like had their body weight on top of them, and there was no flag. And I'm thinking, if I'm Clay Matthews, I'm losing my mind right now. I'm losing my mind. But there was a technicality. They didn't lift and drive. And this is getting too complicated. I can't figure it out. It's like, take the roughing the passer penalty, divide it by pi, add 6.13, and then E equals MC squared. That's how you figure out if it's a roughing the passer penalty. I mean, come on. We are going to be in that realm now where fans are going to say, that looks like lifting and driving to me. And the league is going to have to explain when it doesn't call it as well as when it does call it. It's just a mess. Nevertheless, didn't want to get on that tangent, but I did anyway. Tom Brady reached his 500th touchdown pass last night. And look, the New England Patriots, because they're a successful team and because they've done it in sort of there's a little bit of an arrogance and cockiness to it. Tom Brady is not a very well-liked athlete. He's not a popular athlete. And what I mean is, you know, he's not a winning popular athlete like Derek Jeter was. Like, people respected Derek Jeter even if he was beating your team. You know, you could watch the Yankees beat up your team, win another World Series. You could hate the Yankees, but think Derek Jeter was all that. Right? I'm fine with Derek Jeter. Tom Brady doesn't elicit that. People root against him. They want him to fail. That's why I thought Deflategate was just a bad situation for him, because he wasn't going to win in the court of public opinion. People are going to assume he was a cheater. That's one of the reasons he had to fight it, because he already had this sort of negative persona around the country, and he can claim all he wants and he doesn't care about those kind of things. But when you're an athlete, you don't want to leave the game with a negative persona. You don't want to have people around the country genuinely not like you. You want a post career outside of your own region. Brady's going to have that. That's not going to be an issue. But nevertheless, Brady has got this negative vibe from everybody around him. It's because of the success. But when you stop and think, and I know I've talked about this before, but last night really hit me. When you realize, and a lot of it is because my son was born the year that he and the Patriots won that first Super Bowl. I still remember rocking my little newborn, a couple of months old, you know, on a chair watching Super Bowl 36 while the Patriots beat the St. Louis Rams. And now that son of mine is 17. You know, he's getting his driver's license. He's looking at colleges. Like, we're having conversations about his post-high school career, and I'm watching this guy on TV, and because I have some sort of, like, for me, I have a timeline his success sort of parallels. When I see my son, I go, God, his whole life, all the places we've lived, all the places that we've gone to, all of his experiences, all of my experiences with him, all of that fits in this timeline of the success of this quarterback, who has not had a dip like other quarterbacks have had dips. The Patriots didn't draft a guy early, a middle in the first round, wondering, hey, when is the career going to end? You know, yeah, they picked up backups and picked up guys that they thought would take over. But there wasn't that pressure that Brady was under to say, hey, you're 36. You're on the tail end. You're 37. You know, he's 41. And it doesn't look like he's slowing down. And while I really understand the negativity around the guy, I really do, believe me. I've been to so many Super Bowl parties where the Patriots were playing like the Giants or the Falcons or the Eagles last year. And the hatred for the Patriots is so thick you could pour it on pancakes. It's unreal. But I think, too, if you just take that away, if you just step out of that for a second and pull back and just step back for a second and go, man, I have been dogging this team for 16 years. I've been dogging this team for close to 17 seasons. And this guy is still throwing passes. He had 3 touchdowns again last night. He's in his 40s. There doesn't look like there's a slowdown in his step. The Patriots are recovering. They're now 3-2. They've wiped out 2 teams. I mean, maybe the Dolphins weren't as good as we thought. But the Patriots certainly look like a different team than they were a couple of weeks ago against Detroit. But you know what? That came as a surprise to nobody. Because I think all of us, watched that game against the Lions and said, I've seen this before. I've seen this act before. Yeah, the Patriots stink. How many Patriots stink, it looks like it's over, games did we see early in this guy's career, in the season? Always happens. It's always a game in week two or three where Patriot Nation loses their mind for a quick second, only to be reminded that this guy will rip off 11 wins in a row. They'll win the division going away and probably go back to the Super Bowl. And that's the way it's been. At 41, it's no different than when it was 32, 33, 34, 35, all those years. 24, 27, 28, 31. I mean, I just keep ripping them off. So again, it's just odd sometimes that we watch the Patriots, and if you just step and think about how long it's been, it really is incredible. Now, look, I know there's people who will say, well, is it Belichick or Brady? Listen, I hate that argument. It's a combination of both. All right, you can't win without a really good quarterback. He's a really good quarterback. It certainly helps when you have a really good coach that has a system everybody plays in where he can turn average guys into really good players. Guys that would, you know, who leave the Patriots and we never hear from them again, but when they're on the Patriots, they are utilized in ways that make them stars in the league, or at least stars in amongst Patriot fans. You got to have the combination of both. Would Brady win a Super Bowl without Belichick? Possibly. Will Belichick win a Super Bowl without Brady? Probably. But the reality of it is, those two together, it's so long, it's incredible. And when you watch last night again, just going out to that 24-3 lead, making it look efficient, making it look good, guys getting involved, Tom Brady looks sharp, throwing 44 times at 41 years old, still unbelievable. 800-777-2907. And Josh Gordon got a touchdown. How great was that? 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. Your thoughts on that? We're going to get into Red Sox-Yankees. That gets started. But there's a full slate of games in Major League Baseball today. We'll talk about that coming up as the playoffs roll along. I am Tony D. Ron Culver out today on a Friday. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Speaking of fan hatred, because I was bringing that up with Brady and the Patriots, the Yankees and the Red Sox kick off an ALDS series. First, a playoff meeting between the two teams since 2004. We all remember what happened there if you're old enough. Or maybe you're not old enough. Golly, that was 16... No, how long ago was that? 14 years ago? God, I can't do math this morning. Let's be honest. When people say that, they can't do math, period. Okay, let's just be honest. When somebody goes, oh, I can't do math, it's too early. No, it's not too early. You can't do math even if it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Stop. I don't care what time it is. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock in the morning. I can't do math. I can't do mental math quick. That was 14 years ago. That's the last time the Red Sox and the Yankees played in the playoffs. David Roberts stole a base in game 4, and the Red Sox went on to sweep the rest of the way. They were down 3-0, and then they won 4-3. We all remember the bloody sock catch-up. But the Yankees blew it, and really blew it big time. They lost the final two games of that series at home. So the Yankees and the Red Sox have been doing this forever, right? They go back and forth. They compete with each other for free agents. They hate each other, right? The fan bases hate each other. They play good series against each other during the regular season. They'll get players that will do well. Like when the Yankees acquired J.A. Happ, the number one reason they got him, and the number two reason they got him, and the number three reason they got him is because he's 7-0 against the Red Sox in his last 11 starts. He beats Boston. If they could pitch him every day, they'd pitch him every day. He beats Boston. He just knows how to do it. For whatever reason, however he pitches, he just beats the Red Sox. But the Yankees also, when they pick up guys that they know, like, hey, they might have success against Chris Sale, or they might have success against Rick Porcello, or they might have success against David Price, to load their lineup. This is the Yankees' season will be defined if they can get by Boston. Even if they were to lose to, let's say, the Astros or the Indians in the ALCS, if they can get by Boston, they'll feel morally superior. All of the world championships that they have on top of the Red Sox, they just want to pile on these kind of accolades. That's what a rivalry is, right? A rivalry is a really good rivalry is when you not only hate your opponent, right, so much that you don't want them to have any success ever at all, right? Because you know that it's going to come back and they're just going to rub it in your face. Right. I went to the University of South Carolina. I don't like Clemson. When Clemson won the national championship, I knew friends of mine that went to Clemson, friends of mine that love Clemson were going to rub that in my face. And they did. They had a little fun with that. I worked with a lot of people in South Carolina that went to Clemson or were Clemson fans, and they had a good time on social media bragging about their national championship. That's why the whole SEC loyalty drives me crazy, right? When they're like, well, I'll just got to root for because the SEC. Stop. You would never root for your rival. If your rival's in the SEC, if you're Alabama and Auburn's playing Florida State like they did a couple years ago, you root for the Tigers. You should have your Alabama card taken away. Should never be allowed in Bryant-Denny Stadium ever again. Are you kidding? Same thing here in this baseball series. Right back in the day of, I'm a National League guy, I'm American League guy. No Red Sox fan rooted for the Yankees back in the day because it was American League baseball. They didn't love the designated hitter so much that they were going to root for the Yankees. Are you kidding? Can't root for the Yankees. Yankees fans throw that World Series titles on top of Red Sox fans all the time, especially when the Red Sox fans were down in the dumps. Yankee fans who hate Mets fans rooting for the Mets in 86 because they hate Boston more. So this should be a fun series, you'd think. But here I am. This is one of the reasons I do this. Here I am to pour a bucket of cold water on top of the dream that this is going to be a five-game series where, boy, this is going to be really good. The Red Sox could easily win this series in three. During the regular season, the Yankees and Red Sox played 19 times, and it was a 10-9 in favor of the Red Sox. It was pretty even throughout the regular season. But I'm telling you, the Red Sox can win this thing in three. And they could make quick work of this Yankees team if the Yankees go after bad pitches. Because the one thing I've noticed about the Yankees this year, I watched them a lot. When the Yankees chase bad pitches, boy, it is an infectious virus that goes through that lineup. They need somebody that breaks off. If they're in a batting slump and they're chasing bad pitches, everything looks good, then they swing it, you know, breaking ball in the dirt or whatever it is. It's infectious. It gets through that lineup. They need a Giancarlo Stanton or an Aaron Judge or somebody. I don't care what it is, Luke Voit. They need somebody that can break out of that if they get into that habit. Because it goes right through that lineup and it's infectious. And the Red Sox, the one thing the Red Sox do, and the Yankees can do it too. But the one thing the Yankees do is they can wait you out until you get into a position where your pitcher is running out of a little gas, or maybe they get a guy from the bullpen that doesn't quite have it, and they'll destroy you, especially at Fenway Park. That lineup will start hitting. They'll go through that lineup. They'll put seven on the board, and that game will be out of hand quick. I've seen it time and time again this year. But what I love about this series, is going to be the fact that neither one of these teams is going to find real success on the season unless they win the World Series. Now, the Yankee fan may say to you, if we beat Boston and lose to the Astros, that's still a good season. No, it isn't, because they almost beat the Astros last year. This was the season with Aaron Boone coming in as manager when they traded off, they got rid of Joe Girardi and made the change. They looked at their team. Brian Cashman said, okay, wait, hold on. I had a team that was growing. Now I got a team that was winning. That team that was, hey, we're just glad to be in the playoffs. We're building something good. It's been a while, but that's been Hal Steinbrenner's plan. We're going to build this thing. We're going to get some young prospects, et cetera, et cetera. Oops, guess what? We found ourselves in the playoffs. We beat Minnesota in the wild card round, beat the Cleveland Indians, a team we shouldn't have beat, but we beat anyway, and we took the Astros to seven games. Okay, guess what? 2018, that's a year we got to start winning now. That's a year we can win the World Series. And that has been the mentality of this team since day one. Any Yankee fan that tells you differently has not been paying attention to this year and is using this as an excuse to defend future failure. The Yankees have to win the World Series because that's the way the Yankees are. They get to a position where they go to the playoffs, and every now and then it's, hey, just happy to be here. I saw it in 1995, right? In 1995, they had a great season in 94, but they didn't have a World Series in 94. They took that mentality into 95 under Buck Showalter, got to the playoffs against Seattle, lost that playoff series, but going into 96, still felt like they still had a very good team that was capable of moving forward and winning championships for the first time in almost 20 years, 15, 20 years. This team showed last year it could take the Astros to a game seven. This is another team that feels like they won 100 games. You win 100 games. I don't care how you get into the postseason. You should try to win the World Series and And if you fail, your fan base should feel like it's a disappointment. But not as much as Boston. This was a historic year for the Red Sox. This is the most wins they've had in almost 100 years. And if they don't win the World Series, if they lose to the Yankees, they'll make documentaries on this. Are you kidding me? Bill Simmons is probably already writing for the rights to this thing if the Red Sox lose. To give you another one of those, we're Boston, we're so tortured, we only had one shining moment against the Yankees. Boy, the other day was Bucky Dent's anniversary of his home run in 1970. That was 40 years ago, and they're still whining. Bucky Dent, Wait till Aaron Boone's home run in the 2003 ALCS reaches 40 years in 2043. 40 years ago, I had my heart broken. Then the next year, you won it all. Stop. Heartbreak and baseball go hand in hand. I don't care who you root for. Even if you're a Yankee fan, watching the Diamondbacks win in 2001, come on, the Marlins in 2003, come on. We all have heartbreak in baseball. You don't have to write a soliloquy in songs about it, Mr. James Taylor. All right, coming up next, we'll talk more about the other series in Major League Baseball because I think there's going to be a good one that's going on between Milwaukee and Colorado next. SB Nation AM.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you could be with us, SB Nation AM, as we roll along on a Friday morning. Listen, I used to have trouble sleeping. I'm not a very good sleeper. At least I wasn't a very good sleeper. I'd toss and turn. I'd wake up in the middle of the night. I had all sorts of problems. I used to take melatonin, and melatonin used to give me weird dreams, like really weird dreams. But I would take it because it was the only way I could get a really good night's rest. I'd wake up with that groggy feeling, and it's just, it was a mess. And then I got MyPillow, and man, let me tell you something. It has been a game changer. Absolute game changer. My wife now wants to use it because she's now seeing the unbelievable sleep that I've been getting, and all I do is talk about it. So I have a problem because when I put my head on the pillow, my pillow used to be a goose feather down pillow, expensive pillow that I bought a couple of years ago, and it's soft, but what it does is it doesn't retain its shape. So my head sinks into the pillow, and as I hit my head goes in, the pillow just kind of caves around it, and then eventually over the course of the night, I'm not getting good support on my neck. It hurts. I toss. I shape the pillow into something else. I have to flip it over, and you're up when you're doing that, so you're not in that deep sleep, and that's one of the reasons you can be tired all day. But when I laid my head on a MyPillow, that foam that's in that MyPillow started connecting and forcing just kept my head up and gave me the support I needed all through the night with great comfort. And I slept all the way through, and I don't toss and turn. And my wife, who tosses and turns and she'll be up, she noticed that too. You're in the same position. When I put the first time I laid on it, it felt like the pillow was coming right back up and giving me support. Like it was forcing my head up a little bit and saying, all right, you know what? We're going to stay right here. We're not going to sink in. And that's the feeling I want. I've been sleeping great and it has been fantastic, especially when you get up early to do a show like this. It feels great to be refreshed. Call 1-800-513-3363 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code WINNER because you're going to get two premium MyPillows for the price of one. Get a better night's rest and with the world's most comfortable pillow. MyPillow.com, promo code WINNER. You go on that website, you'll find all sorts of different products. Travel pillows. They've even got pillows for pets so they can get the kind of comfort that your pet deserves. MyPillow.com, you're going to get two premium MyPillows for the price of one if you use the promo code WINNER. Do it right now. Trust me, you deserve a good night's sleep. Heck, I deserve a good night's sleep, and now I'm getting it using MyPillow. All right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. You want to join us for the program. We've been talking some Tom Brady, Patriots, Major League Baseball. I think the series between the Rockies and the Brewers is going to be good. It went to 10 innings, but that's not the reason why. We get into hyperbole a lot saying, this is going to be a classic because the first game went into extra innings. If you follow baseball, you know, momentum is only good as the next day's pitcher, as the saying goes. Milwaukee could come back and take a 2-0 series lead, beating the Rockies 10-2. right? You don't, there's no, because it's close in game one, it doesn't mean it's going to be a close series. I just think it's going to be a close series because I like these two teams and the way they're built. I like these two teams because they both have talent and they both can hit the baseball. And I think Milwaukee taking a 3-2 win on in game one, I think the Rockies, can, if they can still earn this split, will win this series because going back to Colorado, I think this is a very, very confident baseball team. One thing you have to know about Colorado, we talked about this yesterday with Steve Gardner, USA Today. We were talking Major League Baseball. If you go to Coors Field in Denver, if you've ever been there, it's a bigger baseball stadium than other stadiums around the league because of the fact that baseball played at altitude, the ball travels a bit further. So you can't make it like this home run little league stadium where the ball just flies out on routine pop-ups. So you have to move the fences back a little bit, but that creates more real estate. Well, the players are bigger, so that means they're covering a lot more ground. That's one of the reasons why games there used to be 15 to 14. It wasn't all just because they would get home runs. It was also because there's a lot of gaps and there's a lot of real estate. They've calmed that down. They started in the early 2000s putting the ball in humidors, and that sort of, you know, slowed down that sort of kind of video game baseball that they do in Denver. But the Rockies are a very confident team at home. They're a very confident team at home. They can get a split against this Milwaukee team. I think this is going to be a really good series back in Denver because the Rockies have got a very powerful lineup there. And you want to talk about contagious. We talked about that with the Yankees when they chase after bad pitches. I feel like with the Rockies, every time I check them out, look through their box scores, read their game stories, it's like they hit home runs in large groups. There might be five guys that hit home runs, or four home runs will be hit and a guy will have two. I mean, just one right after another. I think you're going to see that in Denver. And I think this is going to be a very good series. I talked about this earlier with the Atlanta Braves. I don't think the Braves match up well against the Dodgers. The Dodgers have beaten them pretty handedly all season. I mean, they've played like seven times. Dodgers were 5-2 against the Braves this season. Atlanta, as I mentioned earlier, the Braves are a team that I think is just came too early. They remind me like a politician who's like running for president at 40 years old because he feels like, oh, you know, I've got the hot hand. I've done some legislation. I've made a name for myself. I'll run for president. But they don't win, but they win when they're like 48, like 8 years later. It was just too early for them 8 years ago. I think that's the Braves. I think the Braves are going to be a formidable force in the National League. But I just don't think it's this year. I just don't. And I just don't think they're Dodger good. Dodgers hit three home runs. They scattered six hits. They got a great performance from Rua last night. He struck out seven or eight. They struck out 11 Braves in this game. They got Clayton Kershaw going in game two. They asked Jock Peterson about this after the game last night. And they said, how confident are you with Clayton Kershaw? He didn't go down that route like you hear baseball players go down all the time with that cliche. Like, well, we got to do our job. I mean, Clayton can go out there and he can throw strikes and get guys out. But if we don't do our job, we could lose again. No, he basically said, no, we're very confident. You know, Clayton Kershaw does his stuff. We're going to be in good shape. So I just don't think that series, the other series in the National League, if the Braves win a game, it's probably game three at home, goes four. That game ain't going in five. That series not going five. The Dodgers will take care of them easily. I think Milwaukee and Colorado will go five. Now, what will happen is that we'll all get together in a day or two, and you know, when Monday comes or Tuesday comes, and the Rockies, the Brewers will have swept Colorado, and the Atlanta Braves will have taken the Dodgers into a five-game instant classic. Because that's how it works. American League, I'm still up in the air with the Yankees and the Red Sox in terms of who I think is going to win. I'm hoping for a good series because I like the two teams. I grew up in the Northeast. I grew up with this rivalry. I know many of you hate it because it's been driven down your throat. Too bad, because Major League Baseball is loving this. Astros and Cleveland. Listen, the Indians to me, the Indians won an easy division, okay? The Indians won a division that, you know, they pretty much led from start to finish. They're a good baseball team, but the Astros are special. The Astros are special. They're a better team than they were last year, and they won the World Series. They're going to beat Cleveland. They're not going to sweep the Indians, but they're going to beat them, and they're going to beat them pretty comfortably. Red Sox Yankees, I'm hoping goes five and we just sweat this one out. Maybe. I wouldn't mind just out of, I don't know, just thought, my thought process here. Just because I like to see stories that go beyond the X, you know, the baseball box score. If the Yankees win that series, how will it play out in Boston? How will it play? It's going to be a disaster. You know that. But how much of a disaster? Like, that's kind of my morbid curiosity, is how that region, because baseball is a long season. Got 162 games. You watch 162 games, and the whole time you're watching an excellent baseball team, and you're thinking to yourself, all right, we went 12-4 in the first 2 weeks of July or whatever it is, and we're rolling along, and the team's doing well, and we just took 2 out of 3 here, and we just had a 3-game sweep here, but I just can't wait to get to October, get me to the playoffs. All of that for 6 months. And then you get there, and in a 5-game series, you lose to the Yankees, a team you've been watching and paying attention to the whole season, until you reached a point where you were comfortably ahead of the Yankees, knowing that they're not going to catch you. But Yankees using their power and some newly acquired pitching arms, before you know it, you're down 2-0 or 1-1, going to Yankee Stadium, places going losing their minds. You find yourself struggling at the plate, and next thing you know, the Yankees are celebrating, and they're moving on to the ALCS, and you took your 108 wins and went back to Boston, and the season is over. And let's wait till February for spring training. How is that going to play out in that region of the country, where no matter how good the New England Patriots are, going to Super Bowls, winning Super Bowls, whatever it is, it's a Red Sox region. It's a Red Sox town. That is going to be devastating. And the Yankees could do it. The Yankees aren't that much of an underdog in this series. The Yankees got formidable bats and formidable arms. It was only a 10-9 split in favor of the Red Sox in the 19 games. It's not like Boston has New York's number. Now, you can make the case late in the season the Red Sox had nothing to play for. I get it. Okay, whatever. But it still goes to show you, this is going to be a series that is on paper as close as you can get, but one team or the other team, whatever it is, Boston or New York, has the power to put this away early if the other team just struggles a bit. And I think that could happen. So again, I'm curious as to how that plays out. I think the Astros win in 4 games tops against the Cleveland Indians, advance to the ALCS. I like the Astros to win the World Series. I don't care if it's whoever comes out of the other game between Boston and New York. I think the Astros are going to the World Series again, and the Astros are going to win the World Series. I think the Astros are a better team looking team than they were last year. Alex Bregman has emerged as a legit star in this league, superstar in this league, and I think they're going to win the World Series again. My predictions have usually gone for naught, but nevertheless, that's what I'm throwing out there just for fun. 800-777-2907. Call me crazy on Twitter at Tony D Radio, or agree with me and tell me I'm awesome. Either way, it doesn't matter. We'll read your tweets. Hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. It is SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, if Major League Baseball isn't your thing, or the NFL isn't your thing, I don't know why you would be listening if it isn't, but the movie Venom is coming out, and it's getting horrible reviews. I don't know. Like, listen, I read comic books when I was a kid. I collected them. My brother and I did. I don't know why they made this a movie. This Spider-Man alter ego. Tom Hardy is... this is getting trashed. And again, I know people look at Rotten Tomatoes and say, oh, you know what? I don't go by that. I go by... yeah, you know, it's still my money. I'm looking at the... I always look at the reviews. If I were to pay money to go to a movie, like actually pay money to sit in a theater and buy $7 popcorn and a $10 drink or whatever it is, I want the movie to at least have the appearance like it's going to be good, or at least have the perception that it's going to be good. Like, but this is one of those situations where I guess Rotten Tomatoes has the audience score 89% liked it, but the critics hated it, giving it 28%. It's not like the old days. When the old days, like a bad movie, you'd watch Siskel and Ebert. Like, I wonder if The Color of Money is going to be good. And you'd watch Siskel and Ebert, and they'd yap about it, and they're like, Tom Cruise is really good, and going with Paul Newman really makes a great on-screen chemistry. But what's great about The Color of Money is the story is very excellent. I give this 2 big thumbs up. I thought the cinematography was fantastic, and the storyline was great. I couldn't agree with you more, Gene. I give this 2 thumbs up, too. And then you'd be at home going, yay, I'm going to go see Color of Money.
Do you do a James Lipton impersonation?
No, I wish I did, though. James Lipton's awesome. I wish I did. I wish I did.
Shouldn't really.
I didn't even know who I was. I really didn't know who I was impersonating there, other than just the feeling of the old at the movies with Siskel and Ebert.
Just a movie snob.
Yeah. No. I used to go to the movies a lot. I don't go as much as I used to. I used to be the person. I'd go see everything. I used to work at night, and I would have my days free, and I'd go before the kids got home from school. I'd go to a matinee. Now, the movie theater that's up the road from my house doesn't even have matinees anymore. It's so sad. Because I used to go in there and be the only one. Well, I'd watch everything. The one movie I want to see that I really will go see it, I don't care what the critics say. I'm sure the critics will like it. I want to see First Man, the one about Neil Armstrong and the men on the moon. That looks like it's I think I'm gonna like that, being a history buff. I know that Hollywood will take a creative license with some of the things with the guys who went to the moon. So I'm aware of that, but I'm kind of fascinated with movies like that. So I'm gonna go see that regardless of the critics. I will not go see Venom. I might not even rent Venom. That looks terrible. It looks nasty. I don't even know who Venom is. I think he's a Spider-Man alter. When were you talking about this? Spider-Man's alter ego?
Yeah, I thought he was supposed to be like his arch nemesis, the evil incarnate or something.
Yeah, I guess. I like Tom Hardy, too. I like him. He was Bane, remember, in Batman?
Oh, he was amazing as Bane.
Wasn't he great?
Fantastic.
Wondering why you'd shoot a man before you throw him off a plane. Citizens of Gotham.
I love that. I love that. I told Ron Culver when that movie first, after that movie came out, I was talking like Bane with everything.
Would you like me home at 6 o'clock for dinner? Can I come at 7?
I tell my wife. My wife's like, stop with that voice. I hate it. But he was also, he's good in Peaky Blinders, a TV show on Netflix I watch. He's good in that. He's good in everything. I liked him in Legend. He played 2 characters in the movie Legend about gangsters, about these 2 gangsters that were brothers. He's great. He looks like even he can't save this lousy movie. Nah, I hope it's not lousy. I don't know, for the sake of comic book movies everywhere. 800-777-2907 is the number. Hit me up on Twitter @TonyDRadio as we roll along on SB Nation AM. Value picks in the NFL next.